grace to you in peace from the font of living water. Amen. Our lessons this morning, the first lesson and the gospel lesson, are full of stories about water. In Exodus, during that long 40-year journey, the people find themselves camped at Rephidim. And there is no water. And as happens time and time again, they come to Moses and say, "We are thirsty." So Moses has a confab with God. God tells Moses where to go to the rock. And he does. And in this beautiful kind of double image, God says to Moses, "You remember the stick with which you struck the Nile? With that same staff, strike the rock that you will find, and water will come forth, and the people will drink." And he does. The irony is intentional. The very staff that Moses strikes the Nile with, which turns the Nile and all of the water to blood, that resulted in the death of thousands, that same staff is used to bring life-giving water from the rock. In the gospel lesson, Jesus, after a long day, is at the well. And he encounters a woman. "Give me a drink," he says. "Give me a drink." Years and years ago, I was actually still in high school. I can remember that far back. It was after math class. I was hiking in Arches National Forest, which is a desert place. It is stunningly beautiful. But you walk for a long time without any water anywhere. And so, of course, we packed in our own water and our own food, which we had dried ourselves, of course. And I was with a kind of a scout group. I was one of those people who never could quite become a scout, but liked to hang around with them. So after a night of using some of our water to rehydrate some frozen curried beef, which we buried because it was so terrible, I woke up the next morning. I wasn't feeling well. We started to hike, and the sun came. We started early, but the sun came up over the top of the ridge in the canyon where we were hiking, and I just started feeling worse and worse and worse. And I thought to myself, we're at like 15 miles in. I'm not sure about this. So our trusty scout leader pulled out his trusty thermometer and took my temperature, which was 104. I blame the curried beef, by the way. We weren't sure what to do. But as we came around, I just kind of hung around it toward the end. I just got to feeling worse and worse. But, you know, you're young, you're strong. And finally, I just sort of collapsed as we rounded this corner where there was a stream. And the only answer was to just lay me clothes, pack, and all in the stream. That story came to mind this year particularly, because I remember that feeling of overwhelming relief. The water probably wasn't as cold as I thought it was, but it felt like ice, and it surrounded me with what felt like life itself. And it was convenient because you could lie in the river and drink it at the same time. After about 30 minutes in the river, my fever came down. I rested for a while. It passed. And I felt alive. again. That's what water does for us. That's the message that Jesus is passing on to this person he meets at the well. A stranger, a woman, from a different culture, from a different tribe. She's a Samaritan, and we know, at least from some histories, that the Jewish people and the Samaritan people did not always get along or treat one another with great regard. And so he asks her, this stranger, for a drink. And what ensues is the longest single conversation that Jesus has with anybody in the entire Gospel of John. It was so long you got to sit down for the Gospel today. And it's a wide-ranging conversation, and I'm not going to cover all of it because you guys get mad when I preach for an hour. But I want to concentrate that he meets her at the well, and he asks her for water. And somewhere along the line, she asks him, you know, who are you to ask me for this? And then he tells her who he is. Now, you might miss it. I certainly did for many, many years. But in the Gospel of John, this is the one place where Jesus actually says, yep, it's me. I'm the one. It doesn't seem significant until you realize that he hasn't told his disciples. You know, he sort of kept it from them. They kept hinting at it. You know, John says, behold, here is the one. And the disciples go, who? Who? Over and over and over again, there's a hint that Jesus is the one, that he's the Messiah, he's the one who will save all of humanity. But it is to a stranger, a woman in the desert at the well, that he says, it is I. It's me. I don't want us to miss how significant it is that Jesus reveals who he is to the stranger, to the one that no one expects. And then he offers her and us something new. Not just plain old water from the well to slake our thirst, but living water is what he offers to her. Now, so much has been made over the years about the intervening conversation that happens, about the five husbands, which seemed like way too much trouble to me, about all of this stuff that's been made up about her morality and all of those kinds of things, none of which is really all that important to the story. But it's given rise to this surmising about who this woman is, and then they miss the crux of the story. It starts with Jesus asking her for a drink, and in the middle of the story, it all gets turned around. Jesus, how can I get some of that living water? Will you give me a drink? There should be a long, dramatic pause. Sir, give me that water. I think that's the middle and crux of the story. Just as Moses' stick, which caused death in the beginning, brings life later on, Jesus' request from water leads to a request for more water from her. And so there they are at the well. God meets her where she is. that day. A woman, a Samaritan, a stranger, having had five husbands. All of that stuff is exactly where Jesus meets her that day at the well, and he is unafraid to speak with her and to carry on the longest conversation in the Gospel of John. So long does the conversation go that later on she will go to those who are there in the town and she says, I have met someone who knows everything that there is ever to know about me. It was a really long conversation. And they believe. Jesus meets her at the place of her greatest need. And in the same way, Jesus meets us at the place of our greatest need. What well are you at today? What well are you at? What great need do you have in your life that Christ can have a conversation with you about? God meets us at the place of our greatest need and brings to us living water. And not only that, the really exciting thing is that God gives us that living water not just to drink for ourselves and to hold in for ourselves so that we can glow with that Holy Spirit, but God gives us that water to give away. So the question may be not only what well are you at today, but what well will you go to today? What stranger will you meet there? And what word of life, what word of living water will you pour out for the one you meet? The question may be, will we have the courage to accept that grace and love and living water from the one who offers it to the woman at the well and to us so freely? Do we have the courage to go to that well with all of our brokenness and our anxiety and our hope, with our joy and our fear, and drink deeply what is offered for us? And do we have the courage to invite others when we see them at that well, or to even bring them to the well and remind them that we too pour out that living water which was first given to us, that water of love and grace and renewal and transformation? And how deeply will we drink of it? Jesus reminds the Samaritan woman that God is spirit and that God is for all. And that day, anyway, she goes and tells her friends and they believe, and it says, and many, many were saved. They heard that word and found that God was for them as well. Well, Jesus meets us at the well. And the Spirit calls us to meet the stranger at their well, to bring the good news that living water flows for all of God's creation and all of God's people. It's not just reserved for the few, the morally acceptable, the slightly better than average, but for you. And for all. And so in our fevered state, we lay down in the cold waters that bring us life. And we are renewed for the sake of the world. And so drink deep, for the living water is for you
and for all that God has created. Amen. Our worship continues this morning with the hymn of the day. It's number 325 in the ELW. Please